Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm super thankful for Louis Rants. Louis Rants are easily the best part of this podcast.
Oh, God, I hate Channel Fireball.
I can start the podcast if you want. You got it?
You got it, baby. Knock it out of the park.
Welcome to May the Zuby with you, America's favoriteest MTG and sometimes other TCG podcast.
Most of the time we're talking about other TCGs.
That's fair enough. I am joined by the number one sorcery content creator on the internet, the number two sorcery content creator in your hearts, because I am officially going to open a box, Louis DeGeorge.
What is up, everyone? And I am joined by my best friend and only friend I do a podcast with. Wow. Burn George. Wow.
We got toxic. We got toxic George. Right away. Holy moly.
I didn't even mean to do that. I didn't even mean
just burn in your subconscious to just burn George when he's not here to defend himself.
Josh. All right, everyone. Welcome back to the Zuby with you. Today, we are going to have a little post, a little Black Friday. Maybe you're out there shopping right now. Leave a comment in the comment section what you're trying to buy on Black Friday. Hopefully you had a good holiday. We're going to talk about all things TCGs. We're going to be talking about Ixalan again. We're going to talk about Secret Lair. There's a new fancy Secret Lair with lots of mistakes from Wizards. So, you know, we want to talk about it. We're going to get into Pokemon. We're going to talk about Sorcery on TCG Player and talk about the Lorcana DDoS attack. And Josh will tell me what a DDoS attack is. It'll be pretty good. Well, did you have a good week? Are you having a good week?
Dude, I am finally feeling like I'm back to the land of the living. I'm not 100% better yet, but I don't feel like I'm dying every time I take a step. You, on the other hand, sound amazing.
I have not stopped coughing for 6 months. I have this like lingering throat cough, and it's like, it's terrible. And then my oldest kid was like terribly sick the last 2 days. Like throwing up and everything. So
that's not something to make fun of. You never want kids to be sick. We hope she feels better. You, on the other hand,
preschool licking toys, like, you know, like these kids, man, you can't teach them.
The day I got sick, I was watching 2 1-year-olds. I watched one of them eat a veggie straw, pull it eaten out of their mouth, and stick it in the other.
Yeah, it's like,
and dude, the other kid was just like, yeah, I'm here for it.
Somebody said, Louis, are you sick? I said, no, I just have preschool. Like, that's what I have. So, So, all right, let's get the corny stuff out of the way. Josh, what are you thankful for this year?
I'm thankful for you and our audience and the subscribe button being right there where you can hit. No, man, I've said this for a while. My TCG journey has left me with a ton of like new friends that I would have never had. And this time of year, more than ever, I'm just happy to be around those people that I wouldn't have known if it wasn't for, you know, cardboard rectangles.
Yeah, that's fair.
Do I have to pay the Magic Historian since I said that? Is there a royalty? No. I said cardboard rectangle.
Does the Magic Historian know how to get royalties?
Listen, if he does, he's raking him in. What about you, dude? What are you thankful for?
I'm thankful for, like, I just watched this war movie. I'm just thankful that, like, I'm safe and my family's safe and that everyone's safe. It, like, made me just, like, yeah. I should not be recording the podcast 30 minutes after watching The Last Man. The Lone Survivor. I'm just thankful that I've got a healthy family other than like sickness that doesn't exist.
You and I are both such wusses that war movies change us. Not even just war. Like, we could never be soldiers because the movies alone change us to an unannounced degree. It's insane.
Yeah. Anyway, last thing, I want to shout out my Black Friday sales before we get going.
And then dude, let's hear it.
So we're doing, I want you to rate my Black Friday sales because I don't think I told you about them.
All right. All right.
So we're doing spend $300 on any sealed Magic the Gathering and get a free Black Lotus spin down counter.
Now, hold on.
They're massive.
Are those the really big ones?
They're like this big.
Okay. Swipe right.
2.5 inches.
I swipe right on that sale.
So it's pretty good. And then we're doing 50% off a 50% off deck accessories when you buy a commander deck. So if you buy a commander deck, you get 50% off sleeves and 50% off a deck box.
You get 50% off both. You know, it's not like one or the other.
Yeah, two items.
Dope. That's new player friendly. I'll swipe right on that. That's good.
And then in-store only. Those are both available at gamegrove.gg if anybody wants. But in-store only, we're doing 15% off singles as well. So, yeah, pretty good.
All right, the last one's the most underwhelming. I'll swipe left. I got to swipe left on something.
If people are going to buy singles, it swipe left. Makes sense.
Like swipe left. The day after Thanksgiving is clearly not the day for hot singles in your area, at least. Swipe left. No thank you on the last one.
We're also doing $95 Pokemon Scarlet and Violet era.
All right, boxes. Man. Listen, your sales are dope, but your pitches are boring. I come here for two reasons. First, to talk to you, because we're both so busy, we never get the chance to chat anymore. Right. And the second is to entertain the audience. So today, in the spirit of the bling, I am rocking when we talk about the gold standard, the GOAT sets. Oh, hold on.
Wow. This where do you get a golden disco chain from?
My daughter had a groovy themed first birthday party. Hold on. It was my wife's decision, so let's be careful. And second, dude, now that I've used this in a video, it's a tax write-off. So
you saved 3 cents.
Suck it,
dude. Kids' birthday parties are a scam.
It is. So when we talk about things that I think are GOAT, you will know, because I'm going to be George Obnoxious with the bling today, baby. Let's do this.
All right, let's get into it. We've wasted 5 minutes of our audience's time. Ixalan!
Time being wasted is not time wasted. I don't know. There's a saying there.
Ixalan is pumping, and everybody missed it. Nobody at all was like, no, dude.
Well, we didn't predict collector boxes going to 240 or whatever they're at.
No, but like everyone kind of was like, oh, it's just going to be another standard set. And it's pumping. It's doing really good. For like after release, for boxes to not be going down, that's insane.
God. All right, go on. Keep going.
That's insane. Usually
it is insane. But boxes
are crazy low. Yes. So I have a couple hot takes. One.
Wait, are you going to give them the rundown, or do you already do? Sure.
No, you give them the rundown.
I don't know the rundown.
I'm sick of running. All right, so you've got, what is it, on TCG Player? Do we have this rundown? No, I don't have this rundown. On TCG Player, boxes are at like 240. Set boxes are sitting at like one. Oh, you can get them for 225 on gamegrove.gg.
Oh, my God, you sold it up. Let's do this.
You've got set boxes, I think, are at like 135, something like that. That's like good. That's really good for a Magic product to not be going down really 2 weeks after release at this point. So do you want to know my hot take? Can we get into hot takes?
Yeah. Should I have brought the FUD alert? Cause I'm all in, baby.
So the biggest thing for me is that the pull rates are so ridiculously hard. I pulled a Mana Crypt today. I was at the shop. Our POS, our point of sale, wasn't working. So I had to like go in. I had to like leave dinner, owning a business stuff, right? And go fix the point of sale. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to open a collector pack. I ripped a $22 dinosaur, and right behind it was a $200 Mana Crypt.
Let's go. It's like the
base version of Mana Crypt. But I have opened quite a few boxes, haven't hit a Mana Crypt. I mean, I've opened a case for people on the channel. And I haven't hit a single Mana Crypt. So I think like that kind of stuff actually adds value. I think a lot of people like want reprints to be more reprinted, but like when they actually make things hard to chase, you can see the value of the product increase.
I have been screaming this since a couple weeks after Wilds of Eldraine and then into Lost Caverns, man. And you hit the nail on the head. When the set box has almost all the juice, there's only one thing you can't get in the set box. That product is going to be good if the set is good. And the collector box, when it has something collectible, it has something that's hard to pull in the collector box, it's almost always a good time. Now, there's Wizards of the Coast could print a trillion of them and ruin it all. Like, that totally could still happen. But for right now, man, this is the balance. It's beautiful. It's a because you get the opportunity to open a $200 plus Magic box and open something cool.
Yeah.
Open something worth money. Open something that's hard to get that you look at your friends and are like, look at this. And they actually go, wow, that's neat. Like,
yeah. Yeah. And, it, you know, the set also just has some really good cards in it and like powerful, strong cards that people want. You know, Rudy is pumping this as that they have fixed the print runs. I don't know, like, I don't know if there's a ton of evidence for that. Like, I got plenty of, I didn't get allocated on my collector box ask, but like, I'm not asking for millions of them, but I asked for, I think I asked for about as many as I typically ask for, and I didn't get cut at all. You know, everything was delayed, and maybe this delay has something to do with it, but I actually thought the delay was going to do the opposite. I thought because the interest level for the set would be down, you know, 8 days after pre-release, when we got collector boxes, that stores were going to have to like dump it on TCG Player.
Yeah.
You know, like my store particularly, we sold out of set boxes on pre-release night. And so, you know, everybody spent their money on pre-release night. And then I was like a little bit worried that nobody was going to have money to spend on the set when collector boxes came out. But I mean, more people have been buying like single collector packs and even collector boxes at the store than any set that we've had in store so far. It's crazy.
It's really fun to see too. Cause when, I mean, I'm lucky. I'm in a position where I'm just a Magic fan, but I've built up a bunch of connections that do own stores, and I know a lot of people in a wide variety of different, let's call them store levels, and the amount of Magic product they move. And it's funny when you guys in store kind of pound the drums of success and be like, "Hey, everyone in my store wants this," and it's a pretty universally stated message as far as my contacts are concerned when it comes to both Wilds and Lost Caverns of Ixalan, the TCG Player sales actually slow down a bit.
Like,
you can actually follow the data and watch them slow as you guys talk more about the success. And what it is like, why are you guys incentivized to move that product either at a small loss or break even on TCG Player when you're able to just put it on your shelves and sell it without that 28% coming off the top, considering shipping and TCG Player fees, whatever it is, right?
So, yeah, and I mean, to add what you're saying too, like, it's getting your money back from the set. When I sell out of most or all of my product, I don't need that cash flow of dumping stuff on TCG Player to get the cash flow going for, you know, the next set or whatever's coming out. Like Lord of the Rings on the second day of release, I was like, oh, I'm in the whole 20 grand. Time to open some boxes. Like, I got to do something about it.
You want me to hock my chain?
Yeah.
Try to catch you back up, buddy.
God, that was such a disaster. But you know, when we're able to profit or make our money back or whatever, it allows us to keep product on the shelf. And then every time we sell a box, you're just looking at profit. And so you don't have to like throw the product on TCG Player. So
it also keeps TCG Player in the secondary market healthy too, because bigger players in the game aren't incentivized to be like, hey, I got a better rank, so I ordered more. Next set's coming up. I need to get my money back. We're in this weird space. There's nothing, there's no next spend. The next spend is Ravnica Remastered, and we'll see.
I won't be worried about that one that much.
but there's no incentive. There's nobody incentivized to dump the product on TCG Player, making that market healthier, making your guys' store healthier. And frankly, when we buy products, it's annoying as a consumer to pay a little bit more for a box. But there is that feeling that like, okay, I'm paying more for a box that has held in value. Am I getting my money's worth out of Magic the Gathering? And I made a whole video on this last week. It feels like in these last two sets, not Lord of the Rings, Wilds and Lost Caverns, when I spend my dollar on that product, I feel like I'm getting my dollar in entertainment, in stuff, in like my emotional attachment to the product. It feels like Magic again, and I love it.
And the cards are that you're pulling have value too.
They have value. Like you said, they're fun. The limited play experience is cool. There's stuff in there that's like the command tower. The multi-side command tower is worth nothing. Super fun to
everybody
pull.
Everybody loves the multi-side lands, and I hate that.
I
hate it so much.
I like the option.
I have such a problem. I'm like, if I played that sleeveless, you'd be able to know what lands are there. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't even play Pauper sleeveless, buddy. Your Pauper deck costs more than my house.
Triple sleeve my Pauper deck.
Yeah.
The other side of this, like I said at the beginning of the segment, is like, I don't think anybody called this one. Like, I don't think many stores ordered as much as they typically order for a Magic set in this set, because we had Lord of the Rings.
Sure.
And because it's the holiday season, and like, as a store owner, you're like, oh my gosh, I've got to buy my family presents. I've got to do things. Like, I don't want to like take this extreme risk right now.
Right.
Like, you're like, what are people going to spend money? And like, so I think a lot of people didn't hold back and didn't not order, but nobody in my contacts went heavy on this set. Everybody was like, oh, it's a standard set, I'll order some. But
For sure. Like, listen, I was preaching from the mountaintops that, hey, Wizards has in 2023 has been bringing collectability back. Chase is back a little bit. Collectability's back a little bit. Your standard products, they're coming back around a little bit. But even I wasn't like, oh, let's go buy a bunch of this product at cost and see what I can do with it. Like, I did not see this much success coming. I thought it would just hold steady.
Yeah, and this one feels good though. It's also not outrageously priced for the consumer. And somebody said the other day in my store, they were like, "Hey, I'm interested in an Ixalan collector box." And I said, "Oh, cool. Like, what do you have? Questions?" He's like, "Well, does it have four packs in it, like the Commander Masters one I opened? Because that sucked." And I was like, "No, it's got 12 packs in it. It's like a full thing." And then he bought it because like, he got to have the full experience. It wasn't like a 30-second open
It's so good. Even this product right here, I cracked one of these on a live stream. I have cracked two now because I'm like, oh, I'm bored. I'm sitting at my desk at the end of the evening. I'm having some fun. I'm going to open some Ixalan. Like, it's just a good product. Like I said, it feels good. You're not, I'm over the, I'm going to open my box and check every card value and make sure I got my EV back. Right. It's got to be close. I don't want to spend my money and get nothing. It's got to be close, but like, it feels fun. Like, I'm all in on these last two sets. They're so good.
Yep. And the last thing about it I want to say is box toppers. The box topper slot is really good. I actually opened, we had to open another box of Dominaria United, just like for packs the other day, and I forgot that it had a box topper in it. And I opened the box topper, and it reminded me how terrible that set was. Like, the box toppers are just atrocious. There's not a single.
Yeah, but how many Shieldred did you open?
I didn't open. I just was opening it for the packs in the store, so I didn't open it. But like, the box toppers though, like, there's nothing good. Like, there's no. And in this set, the box toppers are like they're kind of like the Lord of the Rings box toppers. Yeah. They have value. They're cards that people want. They're unique artwork. They're
artifacts too. So they go in, they slot into a lot of decks, right? It's not like you get a commander and you're like, that's not my color identity or whatever.
Yeah. And like, that's a huge win that I think a lot of people overlook when they are, it's not guaranteed value, but it's additional value. And then for a store owner, when you open up the boxes for packs, it's also, you know, it's like a discount. I opened a $20 card the other day out of one of them.
That box cost you $20 less.
Yeah, it's a free $20 bill as a store. And like, man, I think that Wizards needs to look at what they've accomplished with this. And this should be the roadmap for all their sets. Because it feels like they found, and now they're switching it, right, with the play boosters. But it feels like if they can create the ecosystem that this created, I think that that's a really big win. And it feels like they've honed in the collector box after a lot of really bad collector boxes.
Now, when the product feels like this, you know what dictates the price is how we feel about the product. Is it a good product or not?
Yeah.
Like, does the community like it? That's what dictates the price of products like this. And do you know what this reminds me of a bit? Is Phyrexia All Will Be One.
Really?
Phyrexia All Will Be One. Now, that had the kind of the complete bundle to add a little bit of juice to it, but it was just a popular theme. It was a lot of things that Magic fans like as far as the Phyrexians. There's a lot of fun mechanics in the set, and that excitement carried the set much farther than value necessarily, especially when you're looking at stuff like your set box, now the collector box with the serialized cards and everything like that. We'll get into that some other time. But this, they've been on kind of on a roll. I did a breakdown of all the standard sets this year, and like, standard sets this year, pretty on fire. They're pretty good.
They've been, I mean, they're way, way, way better than last year.
Oh, like, yeah.
Infinitely better than last year.
Yeah. when we also, I'm counting Brothers War in this year because it's GOAT.
Like, Brothers War was this year?
No, it wasn't. It was last year, but I'm counting it in this year.
I mean, I think GOAT. I made a mistake on a video that goes live yesterday.
It was the watched. Brothers War was technically the end of 2022. The first set in 2023 was actually, God, I'm so glad I'm still wearing the gold, was the sleeper set of the year. People are saying, people with microphones are saying that the first set of this year was the sleeper set of the year.
Is it Dominaria Remastered?
It was Dominaria Remastered.
That is, I mean, listen.
Listen, man, I just talk about what the community feels and what the people are saying.
Who's saying that?
Me.
Oh, you're the community now?
People with microphones. I was very clear.
Dominaria Remastered might be, like, at market value of, God, $149.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Don't do this. Don't do this. George isn't even here. And we're going to pump my channel membership, the EV of that product, and a breakdown of the EV and whether or not you can come positive. Opening the box was my channel member video for the week.
I'm guessing the answer is yes at $150.
Big yes. Even with a big standard deviation, shout out Mox Alpha for the help. Even with a big like swinginess. So consider if you got a swingy box, you're still pretty likely to be positive.
Huh.
Yep. Oh, shout out Yoko B. Loco too for pointing me in the direction in the first place.
Yeah.
Yoko's goat, dude.
Yoko, dude, that guy opens a lot of packs for singles. That dude, shout out to Yoko B. Goto. He ships a lot of 20 cent cards though. Like he's like
grind don't stop.
What's the butcher reference where it's like every part of the he's like every part of the cow, man. He sells every single part. He sells tokens. That guy's crazy. I don't sell tokens.
Don't stop, buddy.
It's crazy. I think Dominaria Remastered at 150 is a crazy value. I mean, you got Force of Will.
That's 100% an example of Wizards not controlling the print run of a product. Oh, if absolutely. That product is printed properly, imagine the value of that product.
But it's also an understanding of Wizards not understanding their price points. Because I don't remember my costs on this.
It was more.
It's a lot more than 150.
I think it was significantly more.
It's more than a standard set, which puts it, I think, at like 200. Something like that was the original cost. Like 220, I think, was...
I think it was around
there. I want to say it was like something like that. And like that's where they keep missing. Lord of the Rings, same problem. Lord of the Rings, the new release, is a great set. It's fun to open.
Specify. Special edition?
The special collector holiday amazing.
Oh, hold on. That's not good. Yeah.
Like that's a great product at the absolute wrong price. Like a completely rejected price. And that's what Dominaria Remastered is. A great product at an absolutely rejected price. And Wizards, I assume, is trying to figure it out, but the problem is they don't really have to figure it out because they already sold the boxes. like they sold the boxes. Doesn't really matter what the market did to them.
Oh my god. All right.
So I don't know. Dominary Master though.
Hey, just be thankful the Pinkertons aren't kicking your door down right now.
That's fine.
Call back.
Can we go back to Phyrexia though? Because when you were talking about I was looking up the price. I want to know your thoughts. So if it was such a good set and it reminds you of Ixalan, why is that at now 180? Like what's the issue with that stuff? Why doesn't it hold upwards of $200? If like boxes right now of Ixalan are $235, $240, why doesn't it hold?
Well, it's a two-faced issue, and it's something I've been championing for a couple months now. It's not only Wizards kind of reining in their print runs, and remember when Phyrexia came out, they were still in the process of reining in their print runs, right? Like if the theory is over 2023, they're working to correct print runs, and we see both Wilds and Ixalan as closer to the correct number, Phyrexia will be farther, right? Because they're trying to figure that out. But it's also the fact that we as a community, and this is my whole, I got a whole tinfoil hat theory on the channel right now that remastered sets have completely stopped working because not only do they not have, you know, kind of the print run reined in, but we don't connect with the products like we used to. And Time Spiral Remastered, I said this on the phone, I think it was with you. Time Spiral Remastered is something that I was hyped about because of Time Spiral. and like playing the cards. Not because it had high valued things in it. I was just excited to relive that time in Magic. I postulate, you know, 2-3 years from now, we're not going to have that. Like, what time in Magic are we going to be excited to relive that we can't go on TCG Player and just buy a box of and relive, right? So if they can rein in those print runs and keep us connected to sets like they have with Wilds and Lost Caverns of Ixalan so far, it's early for Lost Caverns, but like so far, if they can do that, maybe it comes back. But that's why I think we don't see these products holding values. We don't have that. Again, combined with the print run.
Yeah, I think print run's definitely part of it. And I agree with you that they've been honing in on it and that they are getting better at it. I have a little bit of a different opinion, though. I wasn't trying to trap you. I'm not disagreeing with your opinion, but
you can't trap me, buddy. My opinion is my opinion.
If you look at the graph of Phyrexia, you can see like three, I guess it's two like upticks, and then it crashes. And I would be willing to bet, I'm not going to do so because, you know, whatever. I'd be willing to bet in that 6-month window, those big windows are new releases and it's stores. What happens is, because there's so many Magic releases and because stores have to spend so much ridiculous Commander Masters, we know we have to spend all this money. Stores put product onto the market to recoup, you know, money, spend, you know, capital to be able to buy these new products. And so that's what ends up causing these products to go down, because the demand for a Phyrexia All Will Be One box doesn't ever go up. Like, nothing really generates more demand than the initial 2 weeks of release, right?
Sure.
And so to me, you can tell me a story where like that just drains the supply over time of boxes that are available on the market. And what we're seeing, I think potentially what we're seeing on the market right now is a false supply where it feels like there's so many of these boxes, but like the reality is that there's just so many releases and stores are hurting so much because of the cost of those releases that nobody's holding any product. And so if something does switch, I think you could see stuff kind of get out of hand in terms of like prices going up quickly. It's just a thought. It's like there's not a ton of boxes under $200. If you look up the boxes,
right?
There's like 30, 40 boxes under $200. That's nothing for a Magic the Gathering product. 30 boxes nothing. That's zero. That's one person wanting to do like a mass box opening as a store or something like that.
Right.
I mean, like, not mass box opening, but
well, yeah. And on average, right, your Phyrexia All Will Be One is selling, at least since May, it's selling 250 to 300 boxes oscillating between the two per month. And that's across draft, set, and collector, right? But still, even if a good number of those are collector, I don't want to Rudy you, but I'm going to Rudy you for just a second.
Rudy me, baby. So
allow me to Rudy you. And hold on. I'll half-bling for Rudying you. Remember, Phyrexia All Will Be One had a little bit of a Black Swan event with the complete bundle, and it came out later. So as people opened the complete bundle, that became quickly out of reach. Remember, there was times I joked that a couple of people bought them at $220 on TCG Player, and you're like, Josh says that's market price. So we made this big joke about it. But it probably opened people up to being like, oh, I can't justify getting the complete bundle for that. But I did like for it, like maybe I'll buy another collector box or something like that. And it did a good job of keeping us engaged a little bit, just like keeping our nose in the Phyrexia All Will Be One area for a little longer than most standard sets. I mean, listen,
that was a successful product.
Yes.
The argument against that is like, look at March of the Machine. Oh.
I didn't say that aftermath, my statement isn't release another product and it'll all be good. No, you have to release a good product.
Right.
Right. And they did that. And because it was a good product, it allowed us to kind of play in that sandbox a little bit more. And Phyrexia All Will Be One, I sent you the screenshot and you don't have to pull it up on the stream, but I just wanted to show you. It's one of the few Magic sets that, because of the interest in the complete bundle, doesn't just hard tank post-release. We see this with almost every Magic set. Mm-hmm. And whether it's because we're so used to the next thing coming, or because we get our fill and we move on, whatever it might be, we don't have the emotional attachment. Magic sets like peak on release, and then we're like, we're done.
Yeah.
We're out. for actually All-B-One is a bit of an exception. So I think we walked ourselves into a weird example with the complete bundle keeping us hanging around a little bit.
It's interesting, man. When you look at Ixalan and see boxes going up after release this far, it makes you wonder. And when you start comparing to like March of Machine, Phyrexia, All Be One that have serialized cards in it, it's just wild. I don't know. I feel like my take on serialized cards gets more and more accurate the cheaper that these boxes get.
Listen, my collectability of serialized cards becomes more and more accessible to me, and I am soaking them all up. I am a true believer that this is where the value is in this era of Magic.
Like, collector boxes of Brothers War are 160. Now,
hold on, Boo Boo.
Is March of Machine the second set that had it? Or yes. Is that correct? Yeah. March of Machine is 140.
No, was it March of Machine or Phyrexia? Now, do I have my dates confused? It was Phyrexia would have been the second set.
Okay.
No, Phyrexia had no serialized cards. The serialized Praetors were in March of the Machine, weren't they?
Oh.
That's right. That's the slip up.
Dude.
Yes.
Are serialized cards crashing the sets?
No, Amazon. What's well, like, the one
March
thing?
March of the Machine has serialized cards, and Brothers Warsaw have serialized cards, and those sets are performing worse than
they the were both that... sold at $160 on Amazon.
Yeah.
What's crashing the sets is the Amazon dump. And lo and behold, we haven't seen Amazon dumps of the other sets. Like, and here we go. Also, the best set of the year, Dominaria Remastered, underwent several Amazon dumps. Look how they massacred my boy.
All right, let's move on. I think Ixalan looks really good. I would not advise you to buy collector boxes at $230, $240 to hold sealed. I think right now, if you want to open the product, $225, great price point. But do not buy at $225 with the
idea. I want to be the meme. You do what you want. Live. You got to live.
Don't buy it with the expectation that like cards or the.
Don't buy anything with the expectation that your sealed box price is going to go up.
Yeah.
I got it for you, bud.
If you're going to buy at gamegrove.gg, baby, use that Black Friday code. The link's in the comment section below.
You know, the murders of Carlisle Manor, when I start box openings, we're going to be in competition, right?
That's fine.
My one case per release against you and your Goliath store. David V. Goliath, baby.
All right, let's talk about this, this Secretversary 2023. I want to get this out there in the open. I don't care about Secret Lair. I don't track Secret Lair. I am not going to be the guy that's like, this one is worth it because there's $45 worth of cards that you can get for $30 worth of cards. But it's been a long time since we've talked about Secret Lair, so I thought we could chat about this one a little bit. Do you want me to start?
I hate Wizards of the Coast.
Why would they reprint?
They cannot stop their greedy hands from tanking the value of my collection. I know the chat feels me. I know the comment section feels me. I've heard you feel me. My Lara Croft secret move cards. How are they
what
ever?
Is that?
They are never going to hold any value.
Dude,
these were one of a kind. The last time these were printed, 2000s, early 2000s, and Wizards of the Coast greedy hands just come in and reprint my cards.
What are those?
How's my daughter going to go to college?
What are those?
What do you mean? It's Secret Move 1 through 9. It is literally the Secret Move collection, okay. 1 through 9.
Can you tell us what the Secret Move
collection is? There was a Tomb Raider TCG that came around and did a bunch of demos and stuff, and they stopped by my game store. And
you just still have... Are you a Tomb Raider fan? Are you just like...
No, this is my binder.
You were a kid.
I was like a freshman in high school.
And there was Tomb Raider boobies, and so you saved it.
Yeah, dude. What do you mean? There's a fifth edition rule book. This was the bumper sticker off a car that I bought. What do you mean? That's this is Knights of the Dinner Table from Gen Con?
How do you still have something from your freshman year of high school?
Oh, it was before that.
Dude. I own nothing. From high school or...
Chris Sabat signed...
Is that MetaZoo before MetaZoo existed?
This is Chris... I think it's Sabat or Sabat signed DBZ cards. No, but let's get back on track here. Wizards of the Coast just greedy. Just greedy. Greedy company, cocktail parties, Scrooge McDuck.
All right. So we're not getting into like the whole details. I want to talk about the dinosaur thing because I think it's so funny.
This was pretty
good. I think it's so funny. All right. So they did these it's called hold on, I don't remember what this one's called. It's called
You can't find where the name of the card is because the card art is so crappy.
No, it's called Life Breaks Free. So this is from the Life Breaks Free one, right? And there's a bunch of dinosaurs in it, and they're these dinosaur cards, and they've got Itali, right? And they put Itali, who is a Spinosaurus. Okay, I'm not like a big dinosaur guy. Like, I don't really know my dinosaurs, but I know kind of dinosaurs.
Get him, like, Dr. Ian Malcolm.
I know enough. Itali is a Spinosaurus. Okay, here's the Itali card.
Hit me with the Dr. Sadler.
You know that because of the spine. Like, you
don't, Dr. Grant, I feel you. I know it because of the spine, baby.
My four-year-old daughter would be able to be like, that's a Spinosaurus. That's a T-Rex. Spinosaurus. Big spine. Spinosaurus. T-Rex. They put Itali on the Tyrannosaurus Rex card. Okay? And I know what you're thinking. Louis. They didn't do a Spinosaurus card because, like, who the hell knows about Spinosauruses?
That's outside of your four-year-old daughter.
But you're wrong, because they did do a Spinosaurus card, of which they put the Regisaur Alpha on, and the Regisaur Alpha is a T-Rex. So they just... Oh my gosh, this drives me nuts. It drives me so incredibly furious.
Let's fourth wall this. Or maybe it's not fourth wall. Whatever. Do you think they did it on purpose to make people talk about it?
I don't know. You want to know my hot take? I've said
this before. Of course I do, baby. Hit me with it. Hold on. Don't blind me. I'm ready.
So we've been through this. Okay. A guy reached out to me a year ago and was like, hey man, love the channel. I don't know how these people find the channel, but hey man, love the channel. You said something on a video. I don't remember what I said. Anyway, long story short, he told me that the amount of products that Wizards is putting out and the amount of reprints that they're doing, they don't have any communication between
I remember this.
Full set coming out and what cards are in full set and Secret Lair, right? Like, they don't even know, like, if mana, like what we talked about last week, right? Where you had a doubling season, was it double season, Rhystic Study, and something else that was reprinted in Commander Masters and in the enchantments in like, they don't even communicate, right? And the argument that this guy was making was, like, they're so busy that, like, they're making all these mistakes because there's just no... And, like, this is the perfect example of, like, something that should have been caught. Like, somebody should have been like, hey, Chris, I know you're busy at the cocktail parties, but these dinos, if you just switch them, if you just go whoop, then they'll be accurate to the cards. And, like, that's just not happening. They're just doing too much, dude. As a consumer, we're burnt out because we're receiving too much, but they're, like, exhausted. Like, they can't keep up with their own crap because all they do is print more and more and more. And, man, what a blunder. Like, this is the biggest, dumbest, stupidest thing in the world. It's so stupid. It's so bad. Who wants this? Who's going to want this card? If you're a dinosaur fan, it's got to infuriate you, because it infuriates me, and I'm not a dinosaur fan.
It infuriates you because you want to find something to, like, infuriate you, buddy. I love you. And you're right on this one. You're dead on. And listen, something we didn't say in the intro, I'm super thankful for Louis Rants. Louis Rants are easily the best part of this podcast.
Oh, God, I hate Channel Fireball.
Hold on, I could get the box and the sleeves. They're always within arm's reach to remind me of my failures.
Oh man, that just drives me nuts.
It is wild. I cannot, and listen, I, as the one of us that has a job and is in corporate America, I can tell you that stuff like this happens. It's always when you're in it, when you're in the sauce, it's so easy to be like, God, we're so dysfunctional. Like, we're awful. But whenever you're on the outside looking in, you look at something like Microsoft or Apple, and you're like, they can't be that dysfunctional. And then when you work there, you're like, we absolutely can. You have no idea. And the outside, like, no, of course they would catch that. This is an example of probably that, right?
I know. It's just amazing.
It's really fun.
It's such an easy.
It's really fun. It's really fun.
It's great. It's good content. It does create stuff to talk about.
It's really fun.
I think the secret layer, if you want to know values.
This deters nobody.
Oh, stop it. Who wants this? It does.
Is this what you do? When you see a secret layer, do you just go, something about it is bad? Because something about every secret layer is always bad. There's always something you can find that's bad. And then you just go, who wants this? Because like the secret layer model clearly works. This product is going to sell. Oh. There's going to be a ton of them out there.
So I think secret layer sales are way down. Like I can tell you
based on Georgian math or speculation
based on communication in my LGS. Like people, like I'm like, hey, there's a new secret layer. Anybody buying it? Like tell me what you guys think. And they're like, oh, we don't pay attention to that anymore. Like people just like the people who like secret layer. Are in on it and like they are watching it, but like a lot of people used to look at it, but now they're just shoving so many down your throat that like you can't keep up with it.
It used to be like a surprise when you were going to get an announcement and you get a tweet and everyone be like, oh, the secret layer page is up now. Now it's just it's a store, right? And it's a place you can always go to buy stuff. It's secret layer is not what it used to be. It's not a good thing, but it's not like it's not costing Wizards money. They're not losing money on secret layer.
Yeah, like I mean their art cost is probably pretty nominal. They don't have to design anything. They don't have to create any limited environments. They don't have like the biggest cost ones is like the commander decks where they have to like actually play test, but they probably don't, right? Like
The first one was the guy's personal commander deck just tweaked to a lower power level, right? So limited play testing there.
I think Secret Lair could have been something pretty cool. And it has turned into something that they just don't know what they're doing. They just don't know what they want it to be. Like, it's not even like one of the secret layers on this one, the reprint equity is $8. The Dr. Ian Malcolm.
You just said you're not this guy.
I know.
You just said you're not this guy.
I'm being somebody else for the sake of the podcast. Like they're selling $8 worth of cards for $30. And like, I don't know. I don't know what that does. But here's the thing I know. It doesn't matter. Like those cards will be worth more than the $8, right? Like the supply is so low on them.
And it's what you always want. It's unique art.
No, it's I want that in boxes. I want that in.
Now, but riddle me this, Boo Boo.
You're really leaning into the Boo Boo thing today.
Yeah. Listen, you got to make up for the friends that can't be here in a given moment, you know?
Oh, George can't be here because he's busy. He's got a busy life going on. He is raising dude is like working with watch companies to raise money for ALS.
There's I don't know what we can say on this podcast. But it's very impressive what he's doing out there.
Yeah.
I don't know what we can say, so I don't want to ruin anything. But I don't know.
Sorry if the cat's out of the bag, George. Might be.
If the watch company's out of the bag. I don't want to be too much of a – I don't want to speculate too positively. But early on, I said, okay, I think Wizards of the Coast is trying to rein in print runs. My next theory, since, you know, I was already just so right on that one, my next theory is that we're actually going to see a reduction in variance in 2024. No more opening the collector pack into 10 piles. Blake is going to, his stress level is going to go down because he's not going to have 14 different special slots and the foil fancy slot and the commander fancy. He's not going to have all that. But you're going to get the fix of those variants through Secret Lair. So Secret Lair is going to feel more special when there's less variants in the pack. Those variants that you're talking about, it's only $8 for the cards. Yes, but there's not like 14 different variants of that card anymore because it's not coming out every year over and over again in different treatments, right? In different boxes and different sets. Now there's going to be 1 to 2 variants. It's going to take a long time to correct, but that's my next take. That's my next hot take.
I like that. I mean, I love that as a store owner. I love that. As...
I don't know why they don't sell Secret Lair through you guys. Well, I mean, I guess it's because there are so many store owners that are really bad store, like they're price hikes and
they do like one or two of them a year. There's one coming out here pretty soon that's like that. And that's cool. And I like that. Like
it's a cool product.
That's a cool thing to do.
I agree. I want them all to be like that, but I understand why it can't be.
And like, listen, Wizards is making money in their business and they're going to do whatever they want. But like, I think Secret Lair like, look at Sorcery's dust system and like how you, when you buy a box, you get dust codes. Like, what if you did something like that for Secret Lair? So it goes back to, again, Wizards makes more money because people open more boxes potentially. You use your dust codes to redeem something like this on, you know, like that kind of stuff. But Wizards is beyond the point with that. Like, that's the point. Like, that's the argument to that. It's like Wizards has, they don't need to do that because they are Magic the Gathering.
Great. I don't have to shoot you down if you shoot yourself.
No, then. I know. But like, it goes back to the same thing with Arena. Like, they don't have to be money grabbing greedy jerks and charge us a arm and a leg for Arena cards that are nothing. They could put code cards in their packs or on their boxes, or at least like buy a booster box, get three packs on Arena. Something that drives people to like coexist.
Can you imagine the fun that we would make of Wizards of the Coast if you buy a play booster for $150? They're like, hey, guess what? Here's your three Arena boosters, baby.
Yeah, but they're doing worse than that with not giving you any.
I'm not arguing with you, but you think that would satisfy people? No.
There's not
a single human being. That would be like, well, this is really positive. Like,
it's I would totally be positive.
No, you would be like,
I'd be positive right now, but
Chris Cox at his cocktail party was like, here's your three measly boosters. You already paid for 39 of them, dude.
I'd probably be a little sarcastic about it, but I would.
Don't you false Louis us. Don't you dare false Louis us.
I don't know, man. It's better than zero.
And that would be my line, and I would get roasted for it. I would get destroyed for it.
I would play Arena.
You would not. You would.
I would.
For
I
a week, totally and you would blame me.
Yeah, that's fair. That's exactly what happened. I don't know. The Secret Lair, though, it's hilarious.
I'm still salty. My secret move 1-9. How am I ever going to get that graded with Rudy now and hold any kind of a... Do you think Rudy would grade those cards? Oh my God. Rudy grade those cards?
Secret, the Laura Croft ones?
Yeah, secret move 1-9. The original.
Oh, yeah. Dude, yeah, he'd grade that. He'd grade anything. You should totally send those in. Apparently there's a mechanically unique card in the Laura Croft one. Laura Croft?
There you go.
I don't know.
What one's Laura your beer, Croft. One's Tomb Raider.
Lie. Never have watched Tomb Raider.
Neither have I.
Never
I will. Played the one video game on Xbox game. 360 was really good.
Oh, you're younger than me, maybe. It was a PlayStation game, wasn't it? Everybody had the Laura Croft PlayStation game.
The one that your
polygon.
No, the more recent one was like a really good game. It's still used in like benchmark testing and stuff because it pushed a lot of PCs to their max. It was a really good game.
That was nerdy.
welcome to May the Zoo Be With You.
So this is apparently a mechanically unique card. People are upset about it. I don't think it matters. I'm just going to go out there and say it.
Commander's always been pay to win and always will be pay to win. Look, now you got another one.
If you want it, you've got like 6 months to buy it or something like that on the thing. And like,
and it'll be mechanically unique for a while until it comes out in a set booster box that nobody opens, and then they can say they reprinted it.
Yeah.
Shout out Rick Grimes.
Yeah. So anyway, all in all,
that used to be such a big deal, and now we're just like, eh.
Yeah. All in all, I am excited at the end of the Magic thing here. I'm excited to do our year in review. We're going to, the podcast is going to probably be like that in the next couple of weeks.
Oh yeah.
And I'm excited to look back on all this stuff and like analyze it and be like, this was good. And this is what we got wrong. I don't know. It's going to be fun.
This is what we got wrong. This podcast. Got it.
Yeah. So anyway,
anytime George is here, probably wrong.
Anything else to say about Magic before we get into the Pokemans?
I'm championing for the rest of the year. Magic is in a better place at the end of 2023 than it was in the end of 2022.
Oh yeah.
It's
oh yeah.
It's not even close. Like, and everyone gets so mad. And I'm just doing it because listen, I anger my comment section all week long. It's my one chance to anger your comment section. It's like, you know, get a little golf clap. Magic's in a better spot than it was. Good job.
My comment section is very sophisticated. They can handle it.
Mine is way smart for me, and they like making fun of me.
Yeah, so is mine. That's how you know you have a good comment section when they're making fun of you.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good over there.
Okay. Let's move on to the Pokemon. Speaking of things I got wrong this year, let's talk about Pokemon. All right. You had a hot take on Pokemon this week. Hold on. I got to pump you. This is from Josh's new website that he's working on that is tracking the sales of TCG Player, and that's going to be part of his channel membership, where you'll be able to actually look at the history of sales on products, and it looks really cool, dude. I can't wait to use it. I appreciate that. Put it on my channel and give you credit for it.
Oh, well, first of all,
I will become a channel member when it's live.
You don't even have to. Special access, bud. Stuff like this is extremely valuable because without projects like this, we would lose that history. We'd lose anything older than 90 days. But right. I was asked, you and George were talking to me about tracking Pokemon. I wanted to track Lorcana. There's indie TCGs. There's Fab in there. There's Sorcery. I got a bunch of stuff in the vault. And it's really funny when you start to look at some of the aggregate data and how these products move. And every TCG acts the same way. Sells like crazy, then we Andy's toy meme, I'm done with this, and sales just completely dip. But like Pokemon does exactly what Magic the Gathering wants to do. And by that, I don't mean sell at a price where no stores can possibly make a single dollar. But I mean, people buy Pokemon, and then instead of just completely falling off, it's a far more gradual downslope, right? Yeah. And I saw that.
Did you send me any graphs that show the? Did you send me the Ixalan draft? Okay. Phyrexia does a good job of that. I might pop that up for everybody.
So Phyrexia is a bit of an exception because of the complete bundle. This is Magic's best example of holding on.
Right? In March, that's when the complete bundle came out?
Yeah. Well, it came out later in the month prior. But that's still even a less drop-off in March than we would have seen otherwise, that we saw through Brothers War and even March of the Machine and things like that. But man, Pokemon, and I thought it was just a 151 thing. I was on the train. 151 is GOAT. It pulled in the nostalgia. It got all of our attention. And that product sells like hotcakes, man. It still does. But even with Paradox Rift, which is by all measurable standards a bad Pokemon release, like it doesn't seem that great. It's weird.
It's a super, super weird release.
But it's selling. It peaked and then is gradually falling off instead of just tanking.
Yeah, that's Paradox Rift is a really weird. I had no clue what to order a Paradox Rift, and I have been very surprised at how many people want Paradox Rift in my store. Well, I can't tell you a single Pokemon for Paradox Rift. Like I love Pokemon. When they talk about it, I'm like, I don't know who that is. Like I don't know a single Pokemon from that thing.
The information I sent you is in the Pokemon channel if you were looking for it. There's a Pokemon under this week. But I think a lot of this can be attributed to...
Yeah, I've got all that up. I was looking for the magic one. I got it.
I got you. This can be attributed to what I'm calling the ETB model and something magic... We see this in successful magic sets and we see it... we see the opposite in what end up being bad magic sets. It's like if you're a Pokemon fan, like you're a Pokekid and you've got any number of dollars in your pocket, there's like something you can buy that interests you.
Oh yeah, that's a good point.
Right? And for Magic the Gathering, for a lot of sets, there's just not. And the set is boom or bust based on the core product and how we feel about it at its price point. Look at Commander Masters, right? My Commander Masters data will show Commander Masters did not sell, price tanked, and all of a sudden money started flowing in. We're like, oh, that price? Sure, we'll buy Commander Masters. Pokemon seems to be like, hey, no matter how much money you got in your pocket, you feel like there's something you can get. And it's less boom and bust and more like it's always there at a price point.
Yeah, I wonder if what you're explaining isn't more, maybe the answer, the why to what you're explaining, I think might be MSRP. Like the fact that there is a suggested retail price and that when the Pokemon company does sell boxes on their website and on whatever, they are selling at MSRP, which is $165, I think.
Sure, but the prices still tank from the community trying to unload products, right? Like,
yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
So I don't know. And listen, we can have an MSRP conversation someday. What I'm saying
I really want to get into that with Magic again.
I'm interested in the velocity of sales. Take the booster box from Paradox Rift, and this isn't information that I sent you, but like the Paradox Rift booster box on its release sold, you know, it was like 1500 booster boxes at the pinnacle of release. And then in the time after, it's actually sold 1700. And you don't see that with a single Magic product, no matter how much the price dips, even Commander Masters, where the boxes came down more than 50%, right? We saw more than 50% fall off that price. It didn't make us buy more than we did at release. We were just kind of on to the next thing at that point. So it really is, it's weird. And I guarantee Wizards of the Coast is actively trying to crack that code. How do we get people to continue buying this box after it's released? There's no negative to that for them.
Yeah, but like I think I'm just trying to find the answer for you of like why. Like I think another why is set collecting. Like people with Pokemon, they collect the whole thing.
It's because of the characters.
Especially 151, but even like, you know, it's crazy. The Scarlet and Violet era, they come in and they buy boxes and they collect the set, and then at some point they buy singles, right? But they still buy boxes, like predominantly. They like, there's a weird Pokemon thing which is like, oh, I can't buy the card, I have to open it. I've seen that. It's like it's so ingrained in the culture.
The Pokemon needs a professor.
Yeah, I think that's part of that thing that like people just come back to keep opening packs. I definitely agree with what you said with the different price points of stuff. Like having a $45, $50 product is really important. I think that's a huge part.
It's a $40 and $55 product that people actually care about. Because Magic will put out bundles, but historically in the bundles, you've gotten like draft packs and no promos that anyone wants at all. And it's different because like, and I said this in my video, if your ETB has a Snorlax promo, well, you're going to attract Snorlax fans because you have that connection to a character, right? And we see this in Lorcana as well, right? You're connected to that character. You're more inclined to buy the box that guarantees you that character and then enjoy the extras above and beyond. And Magic doesn't have that, but
They're trying to do that. They have the special guests in the bundles right now.
Yeah.
You buy a bundle, you get one random special guest card. That's kind of cool.
And that's why I'm saying, I think they're trying to crack the code. Yeah. They want this model where it's not just like, hey, big release and now nothing. They want you to come back to the store or their Amazon store, whatever you want to. If you're just,
but like the other thing is that they have another release coming in less than a month every time.
Right. But like
Pokemon doesn't have that.
Right. But Magic wants you to, if they got a release coming, because we always talk they're a month. I think they're technically like 5 or 6 weeks or something is the average. So they want you spending 4 weeks with that product, spending 2 weeks getting hyped about the next 4 weeks, and that, you know, being your healthy cycle. Right now, we spend up to pre-release with that product, and then, it's my favorite phrase right now, Andy's toy meme, be like, I'm done with you.
Yeah.
On to the next thing.
I think there's a lot of reasons, but
there's a ton of reasons we do that. I'm telling you, I think they want to capture what Pokemon's doing well, and all they have to do is sell boxes at a massive loss to the game store.
Yeah, I mean, like I want to make that very clear to the audience. Like Paradox Rift, I'm assuming on TCG Player, I'm assuming that it's going the same with all the other Scarlet and Violet sets.
It's not expensive.
Booster box.
It's not an expensive
product. $95, which is, you know, that's essentially our cost as stores. You're losing 15% plus your shipping. You're losing 25% basically, $25 selling a box on TCG Player.
Goat. Goat.
Yeah.
Goat. Sorry.
But here's the thing. This is what I think is also crazy. Not only do people come back to these sets, you know, 3 weeks after release, like you're talking about. But if you use Sword and Shield era as the model, people come back to these sets after 2 years. Like Chilling Rain, prime example. Nobody touched Chilling Rain for months. Absolute months. Nobody touched Chilling Rain. Then all of a sudden, Chilling Rain just the supply ran out and boxes went from like $90 to $140.
Like, it's like there's essence of indie TCG there, where there's like murmurs in the community that the print run is drying up or something, and it's like, oh, you gotta get after it.
I don't know why
I became a TCG gremlin there, by the way, but it was really fun, and I think I might do that more.
I think it's because of the demand of Pokemon is so huge. Like, you've got these massive like YouTube channels and YouTubers who are constantly opening stuff, and people are watching. They do a Chilling Rain box, and then a million people watch them open it, and they're like, oh, you know what I want to do today is open Chilling Rain. That looks like fun.
See?
And then they go buy the boxes.
Of indie TCG. They got a content creator that shadow controls the entire secondary market and doesn't tell anyone they're doing it.
I have been, like, way too into Pokemon content right now. Like, I've been watching all these Pokemon PokeTubers.
I try, man. They're too, even for me, who's, like, positive and pretty bubbly from a magic perspective.
Yeah, they're making content for kids. Like, at the end of the day,
I can't do it.
If they're not making content for kids, they're making content for grown kids. Like,
Which, I mean, to an extent, right?
Yeah. Like, I don't know, man. Pokemon's wild.
Awesome. I've said this till I'm blue in the face. I will champion this. We give you crap on this podcast. You would be an incredible PokeTuber. Like,
I can't do it.
Your ability to when you love something.
I need to continue loving it.
That might break.
I need, like, something in my life to continue to love.
You would last longer than me. You would crush it longer than I would, that's for sure.
I do, like, when my daughter's older, she's interested in making content. Like,
sure.
She's interested in making YouTube content. I would love to do, like, a channel with her where it's like we're opening Pokemon together and we're experiencing Pokemon Red for the first time together. And, like, that would be
you go on, like, quests and adventures to find different Pokemon at Target and different towns, and like, totally,
so much fun.
Totally.
Only if she's like, really, if she wants to. Like, I don't want to force her to be
we all want to pimp our kid out for the free money.
No, God, I don't care about that.
No, I know.
There's no money in YouTube. I'm not worried about that.
Say it louder for the people in the back. I'm
barely pimping myself out for
25-cent gold chains, baby.
Dude, I don't know. Pokemon's wild. I still don't get it. Like, here's what I know. As a store, when I see a Pokemon set tanking, like the entire Scarlet and Violet era tanking.
You,
like,
could have just said when I see a Pokemon set, but go ahead.
I don't get nervous in the same way that I do when a Magic set tanks.
No.
Because I know that I can pop on to a Facebook group or whatever, and I can sell every box, if I wanted to, of Pokemon at around my cost. Magic, I mean, look at Commander Masters.
Okay.
My cost on a Commander Masters was like $325 a box.
But the other sets, you can sell it around your cost. There are some examples where you cannot. You are correct.
There's a lot more examples of when you cannot than that are. Look at any set we talked about.
It's 2023.
Dude,
what are you selling from 2023 that's well below your cost?
What's the set we just talked about?
Dominaria Mastered and Commander Masters.
Dominaria Mastered, Commander Masters. What was the other standard set? Multiverse Legend.
Aftermath?
My gosh. The one before it, the regular
March set. Of the Machine? That is March not Machine. Well below your cost.
It's $145 on TCG Player, dude, for a collector box.
No, you told me it was 180 some odd.
No, it's 145 on TCG Player. March of the Machine.
Aftermath?
No, regular one. I think.
Aftermath?
I think. This is why I was so shocked. March of the Machine. If I was looking at Aftermath, that whole segment.
You probably weren't. It's hard to find. It's actually kind of hard to find Aftermath on TCG.
March of the Machine. Collector Booster, 145.
Okay, that's three.
Way below my cost. That's three sets. What do you mean?
Out of 10.
Okay, so I can easily come up with 30% of the sets completely tank.
Lord of the Rings, 70% of the sets that don't.
The new Lord of the Rings set.
That is not well below your cost. That is not well below your cost.
Yes, it is, dude.
Yes, maybe if after fees, that's well below your cost.
No, like, the listing price before fees is well below my cost. No. It is. False. 20%. It's 20%.
False.
Anyway, I don't have that fear of Pokemon. I don't know. It's just different. Maybe I'm just distant, more distance from it, like, because I care so much more about Magic, because I talk about it on the channel.
It's at least a small factor of it.
Yeah. But, like, I don't know. It just doesn't bother me.
Yeah, Pokemon's just crazy. I think I would be surprised. We talk about all the time Wizards of the Coast looking at their competitors. This is the one that they would look at and be like, we need to capture some of this.
It's weird. I don't think that Pokemon takes away from Magic's ecosystem. Like, I don't think that that's like a competing force. If anything, you could make an argument to me that the health of Pokemon benefits Magic because it makes stores have more money to spend.
Maybe.
You mean, like, you could... I don't think that they're really competing for...
They do feel like two necessary evils, don't they?
Yeah, like, I don't think Pokemon and Magic are butting heads as, like, enemies that
there's,
can't...
There's not a lot of dollars. Now, 151 could be an exception, right? When you... Or yeah. Lord of the Rings could be an exception, right? If you get something with Magic that's Universes Beyond and exceptionally collectible, that's pulling in a lot of eyes from outside people, that could affect Pokemon spend. And vice versa, if you've got something in Pokemon that's reaching into the heart of, like, more than just Pokemon fans, but, like, TCG fans as a whole, like 151 did. You could convince me those pull some dollars from each other.
100%. 100%. But in the much wider sense, like...
On a release-by-release basis, yeah.
They benefit the ecosystem of each other, so that it's a win. So, I don't know.
So are they both just GOAT, then?
So I think what Magic can learn from it is not like they don't need to be afraid of it. They need to learn from it. They need to look at what is working. That's what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. Let's chuck it on over to Sorcery. Speaking of TCG player. You just got all the data this week, dude. Dude, oh, we didn't even talk. $1.4 million of spend on 151 is crazy. It's a lot of money.
It's not, though.
I know, but
now we start. No, when you talk about like real games with real products that are moving, it's not. But it's
what's,
for Pokemon,
what's more
it's
than Pokemon.
Listen, for Pokemon, it's not bad.
What's Lorcana?
More than Pokemon.
That's great. All right, let's talk
do you
about
really think that that's crazy?
What is Lorcana? I have it up.
The here. First chapter's roughly $2 million.
I mean.
You want nothing could have been more than Pokemon, and now that it is, we want to justify it. Don't you dare.
That's crazy. Yeah. All right, let's not get to Lorcana yet. Sorcery, what's your insights on the Sorcery booster box?
Nobody
sales?
No, you are Sorcery's number one content
creator. I'm not even
creator.
A Sorcery content creator. I haven't even opened a box of beta on my channel yet.
This whole thing that you do, by the way, is so played out for those of us that aren't super ingrained in the Sorcery community. And I'm going TCG Gremlin again. No, it doesn't make any sense. B, shut up and just be the number one content creator. Like, I have to be the top of something.
I like being a small fish in the big pond of Magic the Gathering.
Yeah, that's my life. That's my life, buddy. When you jumped in the Sorcery pond, you lost.
Nope. That's why I gave myself an impossible task. So I didn't have to become a Sorcery content creator. All right. So 929 boxes sold. That's including just alpha. What is this data? Is this just beta?
This is only beta.
Only beta.
Yep.
And that is 558 boxes. And then you've got cases. Mm-hmm. And so only 215 of those are pre-constructed decks. So
792 booster boxes were sold. So if you want to exclude pre-constructed decks, it's 792 booster boxes. And it was only available on TCG Player from, what is it, November 7th?
So that's in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yep.
In 2 weeks, we've sold 800 boxes.
Yep. 792. Don't embellish. You have the number. Use the number.
Beta booster box. Because how many boxes are currently listed?
That I don't know. That I didn't think to check.
18 listings. Dude, that's crazy. Like, you could see some very expensive Sorcery boxes if that happens again. Because there's, like, no boxes listed. 18 listings. That's crazy.
Could you? Oh, man.
Oh, because you're going to have sorcery box openings.
I've got three of these bad boys sold already. Three
cases?
Slots.
Three master cases?
No. Three slots of this master case sold already. So,
that's awesome.
No, sorcery is, it is a surprise. I thought that sorcery would be something that on TCG player didn't move. I thought it would be something, we see this with a lot of indie TCGs, their first release, it's done in inner circles, it's definitely done at the supporting LGS level, but the fact that this thing has a little bit of reach on TCG player in its early stages is kind of surprising to me.
Didn't surprise me at all. It didn't.
All right, Captain Revisionist History, go on. Go what? Off, King.
What? What did I revise?
No, go off, King. You're good.
So, I guess the boxes probably surprised me a little bit. Honestly, I'm surprised that that many boxes found their way to TCG Player. But I guess there's just a lot of stores that aren't doing, like, in-store stuff. Like, I just don't know why a store, if you bought boxes and you actually have players, why you need to go to TCG Player. I guess I'm surprised that that many boxes made their way to be sold on TCG Player rather than like in the community.
Surprise me.
I don't know. That's weird.
You've got everyone. Oh, we're building up our sorcery, And then I put my sorcery order in. And then over time, there's less interest. I'm going to list all my stuff. It's on my shelf and it's on TCG Player.
Yeah.
Hey, especially if it's my first foray into indie TCGs or my first chance into sorcery, I don't want this stuff becoming stagnant. I'm going to list it both places and wherever it moves, it moves, right?
Yeah, it's also a repercussion of being in distro is like your reps calling you and being like, hey, you should take this. You hear Rudy's doing a video or you watch a content creator and you see it and you're like, oh, that looks interesting. So you buy, 12 boxes and then all of a sudden, like, you don't get a community built. And so then you list the boxes and you make your money back, right? Like, that's what happens. But
I don't even think it's as hyperbolic as that, man. I really think it's even people who have sorcery communities, they order a ton of boxes. And you double list them because it's you want to make sure you're not in a position where you're stuck holding the bag. I had to get the bling out again because we're talking about a good product, so I got to make sure I'm blinged out when this happens. So the number of boxes available didn't surprise me. I think we should have been a little closer to seeing the number of boxes sold because sorcery does lend itself to not only the box opening experience, but casual play. So like the whole thing with indie TCGs where it's tough. Because if you go on TCG Player and you buy a box, right? Let's say for a brand new TCG that hasn't had a set released, you go and you buy a box, you got to find a buddy to play it with. So you got to make sure you get enough stuff. And that makes sense as to why the pre-constructed decks are selling in pretty healthy numbers, right? But the box is a weird one. Well, sorcery not only is a great collectible set, it's got rare stuff. The secondary market is strong. And I have questions for you about singles because you're kind of the singles guy. And
it's me, baby.
It's just one of those things singles that you can play more casually. So.
The pre-constructed decks, I think are just a really good deal.
Like, I think it's a really good product.
Frankly, they're ridiculously underpriced from sorcery's side. Like I don't want to say that because I don't want them to change it because it's so good. But like for a consumer to be able to buy four decks look at Lorcana. Each deck is like $20, right? Like, that's half the price of Lorcana. Like that's a good price point, I think, for any consumer. So pretty good.
I think there's a subtle nod to them. Like, I know that the sorcery multiplayer, your commander style play is not the main way to play. As far as I know, there's not like officially supported rules. It's still just community stuff, right?
The community is still figuring out grids. Like, right. I think I'm going to do a Kitchen Table TCG playmat that's like a four player playmat.
Nice. Cool. You're a champion the grid. But the fact that there's four in there, and I know that it makes sense for the design of the game and the structure of the game itself, right, too. But also, it's like it's also a nice little added little bit of value that's like, oh, you got a commander pod? Well, $10 a person.
Yeah. Right.
Who gets the pack? Like,
right. That's cool. I guess so. To segue, I am not surprised that it's doing well on TCG Player. Because when I was doing singles just on my own website, I was shocked at the demand. I mean, like, for me, it was kind of like low-hanging fruit. I knew how to build a website. I already had a website. I know how to add things to it. It was like a one-night 7-hour process of adding all the cards, and then
it was a one-night stand with all those singles.
Then it was like, open up boxes on the YouTube channel, list the cards, marketing video, I get something to do. It was fun. It was great. Like, I then saw the demand that was coming in, and I was like, oh, when this goes to TCG Player, it's going to blow it up, because I am doing all the marketing right now. Like, I'm having to put out the videos. I'm having to go to Facebook and be like, hey, everybody, buy my singles. But, like, I saw the demand that was for just from what I was doing. And then you had TCG Player. They're pumping out, like, content on their the TCG Player thing. Like, they're doing content, they're sending out emails, there was a giveaway. Like, this was a full-on TCG Player release that, like, really shows the attention to detail that Sorcery's team has to, like, do things right. This wasn't like a TCG Player thing where it's like, hey,
here's here's a promo.
Well, it wasn't even like a thing on TCG Player where it's like, hey, we're now live on TCG Player, radio silence for ever, right? Like,
right.
Why are my boxes crashing in price? Like, there's not that.
One store that's actively trying to crash the sorcery market? I think I remember the name. I don't think I'm supposed to say it. It's a small community. I shouldn't do that. That's mean.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I won't bring it up.
Okay. They're actually working with TCG Player to put out like a full-on release on the platform, and that's driving a ton of sales.
Well, and they're doing it the right way, because it's not go to TCG Player and get a promo. Like, yeah. Right? And that's something that other games have done, and we've talked about it ad nauseum. It's not buy from here, you get something special. It's like, no, TCG Player, the Wild Wild West, baby. And there it is. They're creating
actual demand for the product via TCG Player, which is
cool. Yep. And demand at a healthy rate. And as far as, like, I mean, we mentioned other TCGs, like, this is selling in healthy numbers for the indie TCG space. We've talked a lot of numbers on this podcast. I don't want anyone to get, like, comparison there with the big two is the Thief of Joy, as they say. It's not contending with Magic, and that's okay. This is a healthy space for sorcery.
But it's contending with a lot of the other games.
Well, I mean, are you trying to back me in a corner to say it? Because it's not contending with one of these other games that I gave you data for. It's beating them.
It's beating Bright Lights. Well, new fab set.
It's crushing Bright Lights.
That's crazy.
It's not crazy.
That was surprising to me. I'm not going to lie. That was not surprising to me.
Bright Lights pre-sold on TCG Player 251 boxes. That was the pre-sale data from TCG Player. Oh.
I left. My camera died. That's great. Keep going.
Did your camera actually die, or are you just leaving me on the screen to talk about this by myself?
I'm going back. No, that's funny. That was a great, great timeline, though.
Listen, all I can do is give you the numbers. Wait.
I've got the numbers on the screen. I'm still here.
If I'm going to be here by myself, what would you expect if Magic the Gathering printed an all green set and we're like, yeah, but some of the green cards are different. Maybe you should still buy it. Oh, sorry. We changed topics. This is not GOAT. I should.
camera over.
Hold on. Why is there something giant blurry in the way now?
That's my monitor. That's like super surprising to me, but
it's not. It's not surprising to me at all.
It is like when you compare it to Magic, you're just like, dude.
Well, when you compare this is we learned this lesson long ago, and it's a lesson I still try to keep in the forefront of my mind. And the thing is, when you look at the worker going through and doing its crawl and like updating this data, right? And you're kind of spot checking this stuff, and you see Magic numbers and 151 numbers and new Magic pre-release data come in, and then you see an indie TCG, and you're like, oh, you have to like remember these worlds are different, and that's okay, and that's healthy, and that's fine.
Back to sorcery. The awesome person Calderwell, shout out to Calderwell Spear, which is an amazing name on Facebook. He,
oh my god, on Facebook, that's like a name.
Yeah, dude. Shout out. Nope. He's running like he ran a. Somebody asked the value of the sets. And so we'll try to pick this up. I think I'm going to actually keep this in my Discord just to kind of like analyze like what's going on with beta. The full set is going up or down or whatever over time. So it's kind of cool. And he just can run this. I don't know if your tool will be able to do that or not, but that'd be pretty cool if it can. So non-foil set for beta or for alpha is $4,600, whereas beta is $1,000. That's surprising to me how offset the stuff is. Like 4x for alpha to beta. It's very interesting. That's the number that
that's for one copy of every card from the set.
Yeah. That's the number that I'm going to be most interested in is like, is there a premium to alpha or not? Because we've seen a lot of these games come out, right? Like we've seen a lot of these games come out and like their first edition is pumping and everything's great. And then unlimited or whatever, what they want to call it comes out and like the price is just boom. Like they just hit even, or even sometimes like the unlimited version is more expensive because there's no boxes ever open.
The first edition one. And
like, I'm going to be really interested to see the beta versus alpha on this stuff.
It'll be fun. I'm so much less interested in alpha. And it's not just because I'm not a high roller like you are. It's not because I care about us peasants way more than you do. It's because beta is, to me, Sorcery's official. It's their public release. It's the official release. And that, to me, is far more interesting. It's far more interesting to see, like, how the first set released to the public. When the first time people like me can get their hands on a box, how we feel about the product, that matters to me. And I know from the company perspective, and this is shout out to Simon, because what they care about has got to be like, hey, the people who were down from day one, they have to support those people. They have to give them value, and they should. But from my perspective, it just doesn't interest me. I don't care about you big baller ivory tower people. I want the regular fans like me and what we like.
I agree. Well, and if you look at this data too, like especially for the foils, there's no shot that a foil set's worth $91,000. Like,
well, you have a foil set?
I do not. I'm like still 90 cards away from a foil set. It's unbelievable.
How many sharks do you need to complete your foil set?
A lot.
You can have none of them.
Anyway, it's wild. I think it's to answer your question about singles. Singles are moving pretty well.
Are they?
To give you some numbers, on like an average day when we're not opening up packs, right? Like an average, my employee comes into ship, we have like 150 orders, somewhere like that, between 100 and 200 orders. So I kind of give like 150. I would say 70 of those are Magic. Maybe half of them are, maybe three quarters of those are Pokemon and Magic together.
Sure.
And the other is just like, yeah, we sell everything, right? Like we got
Magic,
we got
Fab,
I've got Yu-Gi-Oh cards, I've got like things that come into the store or whatever, like random, whatever. We're doing like 20 to 25 orders of Sorcery a day right now.
Is that on TCG Player or through your site?
Yeah, everything's on TCG Player. So like you can still go to my website, gamegrove.gg, and click Sorcery, and I don't have to
pay fees. And save you the fees, right?
But I don't see that sale as any different other than the fees on TCG Player. I still print the orders the same way via TCG Player. That's a TCG Player site now. It redirects you from my website to the, but I don't have to pay any fees because it's,
I just wonder how much of that factor is because that order spread is because you're the sorcery guy, right? I think that has been taken into effect.
Shout out to those of you who are doing it because I am the sorcery guy. Like, shout out to those of you who are going to my website to buy stuff.
No offense, dude. You deserve it. I know you hate. And so everyone gets honest for giving you a hard time. You hate when we give you credit, but you deserve it. You built the game up and believe in it. Why are you rolling your eyes?
It's so boring to hear that said about me. Let's talk about anything
too bad.
Else.
Too
anything
bad.
Else.
You screw, dude. You screw up a lot. You didn't screw this up. Like I don't know what you want from me. Your track record is terrible. You screw a lot of stuff up. This isn't one of those things.
That's good. That's fair. Thank you. That means a lot to me. I'm so excited about this game.
I'm thankful for selling more boxes of beta than you.
The only thing I hate about this game is that I can't play it more and that people in my store want to keep playing Commander. Like the thing that drives me nuts is like, I want more people to play so much. And it's just like, doesn't matter how good the game looks or whatever. It's just hard to get people to play new games. It's really hard.
Yeah. Dude, that's a challenge. Sorry, I got distracted. I noticed when I smile, my chunky cheeks move my glasses up and it made me giggle a little bit.
It's beautiful. The only negative for sorcery this week, in my opinion, is
perfect.
I can't get more boxes. I'm so mad about it. I just feel like if you got,
Are you about to go ham on distro right now?
I didn't have a great conversation with my rep this week. I feel like I was fair.
But That is not disco.
I feel like if 1 week you were able to get a pallet, a literal pallet of boxes from the product, the week after release, after being told all week, hey, yeah, call me Friday. I feel like you should be able to get like some boxes. I just feel like, I don't know, man. I know that the supply of this is honed in. And I'm not saying like I should have been able to get another pallet. Like, that's ridiculous. But like, as a store who's trying to actively do drafts and sealed and grow a community, I can't live in this fear that like I won't be able to get boxes a week after like ever again, right? Yeah. Like, that's just not the way that that owning a store works. It's not the way that a community works. And so at some point I would like, we know Rudy has another sale and he's getting a bunch more boxes and whatever. At some point, I think sorcery has to come out and say, hey guys, this is a timeline that you're going to see the next release, like the next release of boxes. I don't love that the first line of communication is coming from, I'm still going to talk. I don't love that the first line of communication is coming from a content creator. Like, we've seen this in other games where like the information has to come from the company. And like, I would like to see hey, in 3 weeks, we're going to have a restock at distribution level. And so anyway,
the communication is coming from a content creator right now.
Yeah. Rudy. His Patreon. Like, that's like, I don't know. We've been through this with other games. Every other game we've talked about on this podcast, it's been the same thing. And it's like, I get it. Rudy's amazing. Love him. Great. He does great things for the game. But like, why aren't these games communicating to their audience and being like, hey, we're going to have a release? I know they don't want to. The problem is they don't want to cause like everybody to sell their product but I don't know. Lorcan is doing a great job of this. Let me tell you right now, I am encouraging Lorcana in the sorcery segment, how rare this is, right? Like, Lorcana is doing a great job of being like, look, everyone, we're going to give you more boxes. This is the day. And so then stores can have no problem selling the boxes and having stuff out there to move the product. And they're like, oh, I know I'm going to get more boxes on that day. And so I think like that's they're not Lorcana, right? Like, they're not that size, and that's not a fair comparison, but hearing from Rudy that you're going to have more boxes in 2 weeks, whereas the rest of the stores are like, I don't know what's going on. What do I do with my hands? Like, I don't know. So that's how I feel.
Tell me more good things about Lorcana.
God, I'm just ranting. I need to rant. I need to get back some more ranting videos. So,
well, I can give you your space, King. This is your stage. Go on.
I need less stress in my real life and more stress in my business life. Those are the days.
Listen, buddy, I'm on my way. Say less. Okay.
All right. Let's go to Lorcana.
Ooh, let's go to Lorcana.
New set.
Rise of the Floodborn.
Dude. Okay. Have we not? Last Friday was release day.
Yes.
Dude. So many people want this stupid game. It's unbelievable. It is so ridiculous.
I made a comment on a social media platform this week, and I was like, yeah, well, Lorcana is already bigger than this is indie TCG by every measurable statistic. Like, pick an indie TCG.
I go back to, this is not an indie TCG. Well,
that's not what I said. I never said Lorcana is an indie TCG. I said Lorcana is bigger than this indie TCG by every measurable statistic. And I got some clap back. I got some social media clap back, dude. They were like, there's no way that's true. Pick a statistic. And I just let it go and respond. The only thing I wanted to say was, ask your local store. Do they want boxes of any indie TCG or Lorcana?
Right now, Lorcana is as big, or if not bigger, than Yu-Gi-Oh! In terms of like people who want. Yeah. Yeah, Lorcana is not trying to compete with any game that we talk about that's not Magic and Pokemon. Like, they don't, that's not their market. The question is, like, that's right now. The question is in 6 months.
Sure.
Like, if they can keep this, if they can keep the player and the engagement interested for 6 months to a year or to whatever, then that's fantastic. The question to me is, like, how many people who come into my store and buy the 2-pack, I did a 2-pack minimum, went through all my boxes.
2-pack minimum or 2-pack maximum?
Maximum, sorry. Oh. But I sold some boxes, like people who have been playing on Thursday nights and who have been active in the community or whatever. They got, you know, I sold them boxes. But
you did right by your community. Yeah.
But like most, the volume of people coming into the store were buying 2-packs. That's what they were buying. Yeah. Like, I don't know what that looks like. Like, are they going home? Are they playing? Whatever. But all I know is, like, demand is real. Yeah. Demand is real.
Yeah, it's a wild space we live in right now, where you're like, hey, store owner A, you could have 100 boxes of anything,
yeah,
from 2023 right now. You know what they're picking?
Lorcana.
It's Lorcana. It's and it's, I have been on this hype train or this new line of thinking as to why I get so, because I make Lorcana videos. I make one a week about the Lorcana secondary market, Lorcana sales information, and I always use my personal experience in the space to kind of tell how I'm feeling about Lorcana as I follow these products. And everybody in the comment section hates, yeah, but here's why. It's not ours. It's not for us. It's broken as far as we're concerned, especially if you've ever followed an indie TCG and you're like, this is indie TCG has to do A, B, and C to succeed. And Lorcana, like fails A, half-asses B, and can't read C, and sells millions of boxes. And you're like, this is clearly something is wrong. It's all flipped. Like, it's just, it doesn't have to play in the same sandbox.
Yeah. Guys. Yeah, and right now it doesn't. And the question is, in 6 months, does that change?
To an extent, we give Pokemon a bit of a pass here. Because Pokemon doesn't have to play in the same sandbox in certain ways either. We just talked now. There's a big pull in that community to say, I have to open this card. That's not super relevant in other TCGs. They get a benefit of their community saying, I want that Charizard and I won't buy it on the secondary market. Other games literally have champions of their game screaming, screw that, buy singles from the top of a mountain. And it's not just Magic. Pokemon benefits from that. Pokemon benefits from this attraction and connection you have with these things that wasn't necessarily all built by the TCG. Lorcana might reach a place where it will always get to break some of these rules. I agree with you. Some of the rules it will have to follow. Some of the things are going to have to be fixed. Ravensburger could not keep printing unsealed boxes until the end of time.
Right.
That's not going to happen. But people are like, oh, well, it's mediocre, super easy gameplay. Have you played a game of Pokemon ever in your life?
The gameplay for Lorcana is way more fun than Pokemon.
But it's meant to be simple. It's meant for you to play with your daughter. Yeah, me and my wife play. Like, that's what it's meant for.
I think you're downplaying the Lorcana gameplay.
Oh, it's got more depth to it than Pokemon. But I'm saying, even if it just exists in the Pokemon-esque space, it can be healthy. That space exists.
I think what Lorcana is doing better than any game on the market is bringing in
boxes. Sorry.
No. Is bringing in non-TCG players into the community.
And people Magic who,
yeah, like people who haven't. Shout out to the Campbell brothers, dude. They played, I guess they played some other games before, but they've been playing Lorcana, and now they just started playing Magic. Like, they went from Cryptic to Lorcana when Cryptic kind of whatever, and now they're going from Lorcana to, they're still playing Lorcana, but they're going to Magic. And they also play Sorcerer with me, but so I guess it's not
exactly one of us.
It's crazy. I think, but I had somebody come in, they started playing on, we switched our nights to Saturday. I was like, hey man, what other games have you played? He's like, I haven't played a TCG since I played Pokemon when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So like, he's been out for 20 years and like hopped in to play Lorcana because of the characters and whatever. And so I think Lorcana is everyone always talks about indie TCGs. Oh, it's going to be the next, you know, the big three. I have accepted in my life, and this may come to a shock. Oh, great.
This is perfect for your revelation.
I have accepted in my life, and this might come to a shock to some of you, that like indie TCGs aren't going to be the big three. Like indie TCGs can exist and will exist successfully, and you may see crazy value of single cards, and you may see, you know, Black Lotus-esque prices of those card games still.
Well, imagine if it's around in 10 years.
Whatever. But I don't think that any of the games that I've ever talked about on the channel overtake Magic the Gathering, overtake Pokemon, or even overtake Yu-Gi-Oh! I don't think that Lorcana can be successful without becoming the third most popular trading card game.
So
sorcery can be successful at the level that they're at now, right? They can be a successful TCG. They can continue whatever. Lorcana, I feel like the bar is so high.
This feels like a way to be able to say the game is a fit.
The game can be successful without being
bigger than Yu-Gi-Oh! If the game is in the slot behind Yu-Gi-Oh! It's the most successful TCG we've seen in, well, since Yu-Gi-Oh! Was created. Sure. The most successful TCG in the last two decades.
Other than maybe One Piece, but...
Yeah, okay. Now that we're out of fantasy land and we're back in the real world, that's another piece of pushback you get all the time. Why aren't you talking about One Piece? Why are you talking about Lorcana? One Piece is bigger. Like, no, One Piece just is, it's more familiar to us. Everyone in the comment section, all of you watching right now, it's our comfort zone. Lorcana breaks our comfort zone. One Piece doesn't.
One Piece is doing some crazy stuff. They are going the opposite direction. They're saying that all their boxes have to be opened by the retailer now.
Well, we saw that with other TCGs, and how'd that go?
I don't know. But, like, that's crazy. They're doing some...
When you look into that community and some of the stuff that's going on, it's like, oh, we're kind of swinging by the seat of our pants out here.
Yeah, it is. Anyway, I don't know.
Bandai just get it.
The DDoS thing happened. So they tried to do boxes, and then their website broke, and they got botted. That sucks. But then what they're doing is this the article that says this?
That they're distributing what should have been sold on their website to the community.
Goats, dude. Like, instead of selling it directly,
you're gonna get a box and a half, bro.
They're gonna give it to the LGS because they care. Like, that's sweet. That's awesome. And like, that's the stuff that, like, if they keep making those decisions, everything's gonna be fine. Like, everything will be fine. They need to fix their website though. It's inexcusable for a company their size to not be able to have a website.
Pokemon gets
the same crap. Absolutely unbelievable.
I disagree.
Really?
This is one that I don't think you could have anticipated the GPU era of botting to be sicked on this thing.
I know nothing about that. I'll defer to you.
I knew that there would be people botting to get it. Like, of course there would be. But the numbers that were thrown out in speculation were... I wouldn't have anticipated that.
Yeah.
And I don't think anyone was like, you know, it would be funny. This isn't bots overwhelming the site. I'm going to actually attack Ravensburger today. No, it's not happening.
Interesting.
TCG Gremlin.
we'll have fun with it. I think Lorcana has legs though right now. Like, you're seeing the box prices go down. December 1st is supposedly another huge restock. We'll see where it goes. But
you're such an ass.
What?
You can't just be positive. It's got legs, I guess.
So like, it's hard for me because I...
One Piece is popping out. One Piece is GOAT, dude. Lurkhan's got legs, I guess.
Before, and I don't want my viewers to get hurt again. Like, the box prices, I feel like, are super volatile. Like, I would not spend...
What are you talking about? Ravensburger, the company that makes the game.
But here's my point. Let me finish my point. The point is, like, when a listener hears this and then they look at the market, they're going to see a $300 box. And then in 6 weeks, they're going to see a $140 box and they're going to be like, oh my gosh, this tanked. And, like, that's not the case.
Then you're failing as a content creator.
Okay.
We expect the boxes to be MSRP or below.
Yeah, we're
the company that prints the boxes have stated that they want to do nothing but print them into the dirt until they are widely available.
We've heard that before.
And you know what? If you want to be the speculator that risks it all on whether or not they can do it, which...
Do not do that. God, please.
Yeah, no, I don't think you should. I think that's a horrible plan.
If you got money to throw away like that, check out my Black Friday stuff.
But that's why you're like, I can't say it's great. I don't want people risking their money on it. Like, what are you... No, you just have this weird line in the sand that you feel you need to hold. And it is fascinating.
Internal temp too high.
Yeah, you got too hot over your Lorcana BS and your camera is ashamed. Your camera's ashamed of your take.
Screw you, camera. This is great content. Listen, I have 7 of these cameras. How does this not work when I need it to work?
Dude, that's fine. The people come to this podcast to see me anyway. We're cool.
All right. Anyway,
I've got gold glasses and a disco necklace. What are we ending this show?
Let's end the podcast. This must be what the Spotify listeners feel like.
This, you know what? Hold on. This last segment right here, this is for the Spotify listeners.
Oh, we're all leaving. All right, everyone.
This is for the Spotify listeners. Shout out. If you listen on Spotify, drop a like on the podcast. Shout out to you.
All right, everyone. Have a great day. Be kind to people around you. And may the zoo be with you.
And also with you, dude.